Hey y'all, welcome back to another week of Contrarian Thinking. This one, I was messing with some titles this week. I was thinking, how the rich get richer and the poor say thank you? Or, unless you have $10 million, we don't want you? Anyway, let's get into it. What if your government shut out 99% of Americans from investing in assets that have the highest risk-reward ratio, aka ones that make the most money potentially? That seems to me like it'd be a bad thing. It might even mean your government doesn't want you to win, or at the very least, doesn't think you're very smart. I could count the ways I stand by that statement on both sides of the aisle, but let's start with one relevant to my financial freedom-oriented corazón. Two words: SEC and accreditation. If you haven't been combing the archives of SEC minutes, really, what else could you be doing? Let's catch you up. Gary Gensler, head of the SEC that decides how investments are regulated in the U.S., just floated the idea of moving the threshold for those who can invest as an accredited investor to those with $10 million in investable net worth instead of $1 million. I, for one, think that's bad. And not because I win from it either way. 99% of my investors historically have been institutional investors, aka banks, sovereign wealth funds, pensions with billions or at least hundreds of millions to invest. The reason I think this is bad is because, well, the SEC is not my daddy, and I didn't ask for his permission. Neither should you. So let's get into it. Today in 10 minutes or less. What is an accredited investor status? Why does it matter to me? Who's Gary? Why your government thinks you're dumb, but they're not always wrong, and what to do about it. But first, a rant. I had someone ask me why I spend time on contrarian thinking. I suppose I could retire at least, and live kind of the lifestyle I have right now for a while, unless inflation continues, at which point I'll have to go live in my laundromat. But why am I working 50 to 60 to 70 hours a week on this baby? You want to know why it's here? I think it's kind of contradictory. I'm here because I expect nothing from anyone, because I expect at the end of my days to have to stand on my own two feet, because I believe I'm capable of doing that, and I believe you are too. So tell me why you are here today. Why are you giving your most precious commodity your time? Many of you think you're here for yourself, but you want to know why you're really here? Because you're Atlas. We all are. The best of us know we have others to carry, and you do it because you can. You know, I had my mom stand up at one of my events lately, and I said three words: I got you. She gave me life, and one day I'm going to take care of her. She will never have to worry for anything because I got her. She carried me. I'll carry her. But today, more than ever, we've forgotten it's not about us. It's not about being weak. We've forgotten what it feels like to know you are strong. And there is no greater feeling than standing up against the man and feeling like this motherfucker, which is a funny gif of mine of this little guy going after a big dude. So that's what we are here to become. Strong of mind, body, and balance sheet. But, you know, sans the slippers this guy is wearing. Because our people need us, and so does this world. So I don't want you guys to have any illusions about freedom. One day they will come crashing down unless you step up, because if you're reading this, we need you. Okay, so what is an investor accreditation status? Now and proposed. Okay, so right now, accredited investors, in short, have $200,000 in annual income or are worth $1 million. There are other specifics you can read here and allowable exemptions, but I'll let you guys get into that. What it really means is that if you have these two things, for the most part, you can invest in lots of cool stuff: hedge funds, private equity, interval funds, crowdfunding, startup fundraising, venture capital, et cetera, et cetera. Now, why does this matter to you? Because the private market, where we do all of these things, has exploded in size. Over the last 25 years, more companies have moved away from public markets, aka the stock market, to more private markets like PE and VC. While the equity capitalization of the US stock market is about 27 times the size of the assets for PE and VC funds, aka the private market, the number of public companies dropping is interesting. There are about 3,600 public companies in the US today, about one half as many as in 1996, and three-fourths as many as in the 1970s. That means that more than 90% of the stocks have disappeared since 1996. The argument that concerns me the most are, there are some data that shows private markets have the potential for higher returns. Companies increasingly are experiencing exponential growth pre-public listing, meaning retail investors may be missing out on those returns. And increased cost to publicly list due to more regulations will continue this trend. So the dirty little secret of the U.S. securities law is that the rich not only have more money, they also have access to wealth generating investments not available by law to the average investor. In fact, There's a professor who basically said, current law discriminates on the basis of wealth as a proxy for sophistication or the ability to fend for oneself. Securities law thus in theory, as in practice, marginalizes the average investor without acknowledging that it does so, let alone justifying it. Too long didn't read, less access to accredited investments could mean the rich get richer and the poor stay the same. But let's talk about who are the poor. Who are the poor that won't have access to this kind of investment? These poor, pathetic people. Well, since only about 6 to 8% of Americans have at least $1 million in net worth, that means that even right now, a very small percentage of Americans can have access to accredited investments. But if we raise the number to 10 million, that would shut out over 99% of Americans from hedge funds, private, and venture capital. There are supposedly 1,456,336 households in America with over 10 million in net worth. Although I assume that is including their primary residence, which would not count for accredited status. If that number is true, that's only 1.13% of the population who can invest in accredited assets. I think that is horribly unfair. And let me tell you who's deciding this. Who's the guy who gets to decide if you're smart enough to invest in private deals? Meet Gary Gensler. His bio doesn't suck. It's filled with a smorgasbord of impressive institutions, MIT, Sloan, CFTC, that's the Trade Commission, Wharton, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, a fellow Goldman alum, and on and on. Here's my main rub. When you've sat in ivory towers for the entirety of your career, you probably would also think all of us normies are incompetent. Or perhaps what happens is that when you've worked at, you know, for 18 years at Goldman Sachs and then another 20 plus years in government, you start to believe that institutions are the answer and the workers are not. On a fair note, you know what I love about Gary? His dad. His dad was a pinball machine vendor and owner, and y'all know how I feel about vending machines, wink. Now, why your government thinks you're dumb and why sometimes they're right. If you take a stroll through history, investing was kept amongst the wealthy. They were thought to be able to handle risk because of their wealth. Also to begin, because the market was small and the players were known, so the level of fraud was not as widespread or enough to scare off most investors. But then the stock market explosion happened pre-Great Depression. It led to Black Tuesday, Black Thursday, and the Great Depression. The short version is investors overbought securities on margin, aka debt, massively speculated, billions of dollars were wiped out, banks overlent and became insolvent, aka went under, economic production slowed down, and unemployment surged to 25%. So understandably, our government wasn't thrilled that our financial markets wiped out our economy within a period of weeks. That meant they created a slew of financial regulations continuing from there. Regulations like Glass-Steagall and the Securities and Exchange Act, which created the SEC, the Dodd-Frank bill, which, by the way, is 8,843 pages. And also, funny story, I met Barney Frank, creator of said monstrosity, while I was at Goldman, and without knowing who he was, proceeded to lambast his bill at the brilliant age of, I don't know, I was 20 or something. He wasn't thrilled, let's just say. Now, apparently we humans can't be trusted to look at the numbers and say, I have X amount of money, and what if I lose it all in this investment? Can I afford that? So that's why the regulators step in. But here's my philosophy. We should protect investors from unsafe investments, aka fraud, exorbitant terms, false claims and promises. We should not protect investors from themselves. By protecting investors from themselves, we're asking the SEC to become our parents. Instead, keep out bad actors, hold them accountable, but instead of telling someone what they can and can't invest in, maybe instead we teach them how to invest. I don't know. That's probably too reasonable. Question everything and be an adult.